Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have
and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday, August 27th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy Monday, Melody.
Happy Monday, but the technology gods weren't very happy. And we were a few minutes late, but we'll say it's Monday, and thus the reason.
For the season.
But gold today, though, we had a nice day in gold today. I'm not going to jinx it, so I'm just going to get through the report. But pretty much everything was green, and except for the dollar, that was much lower. And we have gold today up $5 in the New York spot price after market at $1,211. Silver's up 9 cents at $14.96. Platinum was up 12 at $806, with palladium up 9 at $955. Pressure, U.S. dollar down 0.39 at $94.77. Crude oil was up 21 cents at $68.93. I mean, that was a no-brainer on the dollar. I mean, you heard President Trump, mentioning the strong dollar last week several times. You know, I mean, hey, everybody went out there and probably shorted the dollar knowing which direction it was going to go in. So, I mean, it's pretty easy now to read their signs of which way some of these markets are going to go, except, of course, when it comes to gold. I mean, well, that's another story, but we know the long-term effect on gold, and that's going to be higher along with silver. Will be much higher. But let's go ahead and get to the paper markets today. And of course, they were giddy with the news of an agreement with Mexico and a trade. So the Dow was up a little over 1%, like 1.01%, up 259 points, 26,049. The NASDAQ hit a new record, up 71.92 at 8,017. And I did call the NASDAQ. I knew we'd hit at least 8,000 before it reverses itself. I don't think, no way is it going to hit 9. So this is kind of like NASDAQ at 8,000 is kind of like Bitcoin at 20,000. All right. The S&P was up 22 at 2,896. 10-year yield up 0.02 at 2.85%. Euro was stronger by 32 cents. Foreign markets, Hong Kong was up big, up over 2%. Germany was up a little over 1%. So unless they knew, the agreement with Mexico was done, I don't think that was the reason they were up. So not quite sure if that agreement with Mexico is the real reason behind the stock market. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt today. And what emotion is driving the market? Well, that popped big today. We're into the extreme greed emotion at 76. You know, it's been hovering around the mid-50s and 59, and so it popped big today. So all worries are gone. We live in a in a fantasy world, and I bet there really are unicorns on Wall Street. What do you think, Dave?
Hey, they're alive and well. I'm afraid they're out in the heartland as well.
They're everywhere, but Heartland might have a little more reality as far as what's going on, because they always have it. You know, things are tough for them out there, the farmers and everything. But we'll see what happens with the We can talk a little bit about the trade agreement. Let me go ahead and the deal is going to be called the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. So the NAFTA name is going to be eliminated. And Trump added that the deal is going to help farmers and manufacturers. He says we've made it better for both countries. The new deal will last 16 years and will be reviewed every 6 years. And that's according to the U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer. It still has to be approved by Congress and stipulates that a certain amount of steel and aluminum must come from North America. Lighthizer also said the plan will not cap imports of light vehicles from Mexico, but keeps the steel and aluminum tariffs that are already in place. Officials have been in D.C., and of course, they've been trying to work out these issues, Dave. So,
yes, Melody. We read that there was hope that a new NAFTA could be solidified before Mexico's government turns over on December 1st. That's when Andrés Manuel López Obrador replaces Enrique Peña Nieto as president. Trump said Mexican officials promised the country would start buying as much U.S. farm products as possible under the new deal. Trump called Peña Nieto today to congratulate him on the negotiations and their outcome, and he noted that Canada would be able to reincorporate itself to the talks. Canada, as we know, has remained on the sidelines of these trade talks while the U.S. aimed at first striking a deal with Mexico. Canada's Foreign Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, said that once the bilateral issues get resolved, Canada will be joining the talks to work on both bilateral issues and our trilateral issues, presumably the meeting with the U.S. and Mexico. Trump said negotiations with Canada had not yet started, adding that if Canada wanted to negotiate fairly, the U.S. would do just that. The Mexican peso jumped 1% against the dollar this morning on news of this. Shares of trade between Caterpillar and Boeing rose 2.7% and 1.3% respectively.
Well, it'll be interesting to really see what's in the trade deal. I'm assuming it's a good one. Other than just what they give us to talk about. Devils are always in the details, and that's what I wait for. Everybody will be touting that. We'll have to see how it plays out and what really is the impact. And hopefully, we'll be seeing some more orders coming from these manufacturers and from the farmers. Perhaps it'll replace the shortages that China is presenting for the farmers and the soybeans and so forth. The details will be interesting to see. And I haven't had a chance to take a peek at them and to find out. You basically have to read the complete agreement. But we will do that, and we will let you know here on Financial Survival. So we did have the dollar. It fell for the second straight session today. And, of course, still weighed down by the comments from the Federal Chairman Jerome Powell on Friday. So he sort of suggested a slower pace of monetary tightening. Again, we'll see with this new trade deal. It'll have a little bit of a dampening effect on the dollar. And the dollar hit since it hit more than a one-year high in mid-August, the dollar has fallen more than 2%. So that's a pretty nice drop, 2% since mid-August. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, the fall began after President Trump had criticized the Fed for raising interest rates and having that impact of a stronger dollar.
Yeah, on Friday at the Fed symposium in Wyoming, Chairman Powell emphasized the Fed's push to raise interest rates despite the president's criticism of higher borrowing costs for the U.S. government. But Powell also said the Fed sees no clear sign of inflation accelerating above its 2% target. Now, Powell's comments did little to change market expectations for rate hikes in September and December, and disappointed some dollar bulls hoping for a more hawkish message that just didn't come. Most analysts' takeaway from Jackson Hole over the weekend is that the Fed may not look to tighten much more than is currently priced into the markets. They believe it's clear the Fed cycle is close to nearing the end game. Interest rate hike expectations have supported the dollar this year as the U.S. economy tracked what it characterized a stable growth path.
Well, we did see the Treasury yield today. The yield curve today reached its flattest since 2007. That's a factor, again, seen as reducing support for the dollar. In mid-morning trading, the dollar index that measures the greenback against the basket of the six major currencies was down 0.46% at 94.71 after slipping more than 0.5% in the previous session. So overall, financial markets showed a healthier appetite for risk as U.S. stocks rose and, of course, curbing the dollar's safe haven appeal.
Yes, and gold up slightly, up a good rate today as the dollar continued its slide. Spot gold, as Melody mentioned at the top of the show, was up about $5 today. Gold futures were up just about the same. The market has interpreted Jerome Powell's speech as dovish, after he said on Friday about the gradual approach to interest rates remained appropriate to protect the U.S. economy. Now, that pushed gold up 1.7% on Friday, and that was its biggest one-day percentage gain since May of last year. But, you know, prices remained fairly steady throughout today as higher interest rates, even, you know, if they come at a gradual pace, raise the opportunity cost of holding gold, Melody.
So we'll have to see. You know, we know that gold's attachment to the U.S. dollar, and we know that the U.S. dollar trades in the basket of currencies, and so it makes a weaker currency. U.S. currency makes the dollar-denominated gold cheaper for holders of other currencies. So, fingers crossed, that could boost demand and prices. The Chinese yuan today, that made gold cheaper for buyers and the world's biggest gold consumer, providing a little more support for prices. There's an analyst who says that if it holds at 1,200 an ounce, there's a good chance of further gains. And 1,200 is a big number. It is a big number. So I like to see it close above that. And then the next target would be about 1,230 to 1,235. So these are the gains that we need to see in gold. So traders said that higher activity in gold options and among the geopolitical tensions and record long bull market is also suggesting that investors are getting are betting gold prices pretty much have found a floor. So that was what we were waiting for, to see gold hit a floor. And I think with the change in the dollar and Trump's comments about rates and the impact on a stronger dollar, I think we have seen a floor in gold.
Onward and upward, Melody.
Yes, absolutely.
Excuse me. Well, you know, speaking of the yuan, we've talked over the past 2 weeks fairly regularly about the sliding yuan, and Asia markets were largely positive in afternoon trading there today, with the China markets gaining. And that followed a move by China's central bank to guide the management of the yuan, which analysts saw as a way to slow the yuan slide. You know, Hong Kong's, what do they call it, the Hang Seng Index rose by over 2% as all its major sectors rose, with the services up by over 3%. Over on the mainland, the Shanghai Composite was up just about 2%, while the Shenzhen Composite ended the trading day higher by 2.5%. And the onshore Chinese yuan traded down against the dollar after touching a high of 6.8052 earlier in the day. Its offshore counterpart, which had also seen a prior high, traded largely flat against the greenback melody.
And, you know, we've seen, you know, China, you know, everybody manipulates their currencies. You know, to just call one country a currency manipulator, it just kind of cracks me up. But we did see them deliberately loosening its exchange rate over the last couple of months to deflect some of the trade issues. And now that we're seeing a little bit of strength in the coming from the Chinese central banks, maybe it's a little bit of an appeasement to the U.S. By letting their currency perhaps strengthen a little bit. So nobody wants a strong currency. When you have the amount of debt that these countries are holding, they don't want a strong dollar. They want a weaker dollar, and a weaker dollar they're going to get. It just, you know, but it's not beneficial to those who are holding dollars, like the citizens of the countries. It only benefits the central banks.
Yeah, indeed. You know, Adam Carr, who's chief economist at Australia's Chamber of Commerce, you know, said on Friday that he said this morning that last week was an absolute disaster as far as policy certainty is concerned. You know, he, like, you know, most other central banks crave certainty. Our members crave certainty, he said. You know, in a morning note, the head of foreign exchange strategy at National Australia Bank said the combined impact of the dollar's weakness following Powell's speech and yuan's strength after the China central bank announcement is likely to be dominant as the early week moves on. Melody.
Well, you know, tariffs. And, you know, you hear all about how it's going to be disruptive to our supply chain and how it's going to be hurtful to our businesses. But I think we almost have to wait and see exactly how it does hurt, if it does, or if it's beneficial. I can't imagine that it's going to be 100% hurtful. But that isn't my issues with tariffs. And my issues with the tariffs is people believe that we'll be able to grow ourselves out of our debt. But the debt is still there. And I don't think by throwing everything that we have in order to try to grow ourselves out of the debt is going to work. So we'll just have to see. I mean, sure, the apparel, the footwear industry, they're going to be hit by the tariffs, you know, because of the tariffs with China. You have, what, 41% of all apparel, 72% of all footwear, and 84% of all accessories imported into the U.S. come from China. So there are limited sourcing options, as most products come from China, Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, Indonesia. He says, so where are you going to go? And people have been trying to diversify for years. So you just can't up and move. So prices are going to have to come from the consumer. And that will come sooner versus later. So the American retail scene has featured mostly layoffs and store closures over the past year, but it is looking a little bit better. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk a whole lot more about what's going on, about most Americans concerned about savings, and right after these few short messages. Thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen. And our telephone number at Discount Gold and Silver is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And folks, I love to receive your emails. You can send them to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. I get many emails, many emails, and people want to know about what prices are this. So they'll, because we don't have our prices on the website, they'll send me an email wanting to know. But you do have to specify whether you're going to spend $3,000 or you want to buy 3,000 ounces of silver. So I had a gentleman yesterday, and he's talking about, I want to buy, like I did before, about 3,000. He didn't specify ounces, so I was thinking, you know, usually people that are going to buy 3,000 ounces are going to be a little more specific as far as what they're looking to purchase. So I'm quoting him for, you know, $3,000 worth of silver, and he couldn't understand. I mean, so be a little more clear in your emails, please. And it was 3,000 ounces of silver, so we got that corrected, but we were both confused as we were sending emails back and forth. So, but I love your emails, and if you have any questions, send them to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And the buyers are coming out, the bigger buyers are coming out. I'm seeing a lot of money being flown into $20 gold pieces, into silver. Prices hit rock bottom, ladies and gentlemen, and now's the opportune time to take advantage. I mean, we're still at rock bottom prices, and we are going to go higher, and we are going to have a problem. There's been a couple of articles. I don't know if we'll have a chance to talk to them today about, you know, how wealthy would we be if we stopped borrowing trillions of dollars every year. The BIS is out there warning of the perfect storm for a global economy. And so, ladies and gentlemen, they synchronized the global economies in order to keep this whole system going after the Great Recession of 2008. And here we are today. How are they going to keep that going? So they're brewing the perfect storm. And it's always quiet before the storm. Everybody is fat and happy and thinking, well, you know, hey, we got it all under control. Well, we don't. And that's the one thing that they're not going to talk about. They're going to talk about all the good things. And we're here to talk about the good things and reality. So we don't talk about bad things. We talk about reality. There is
we call it the truth.
The truth, absolutely. And so visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter, and you can listen to this radio program live by going to their little radio page, or we also do the archives on a longer-term basis. So either or, we're there for you. And someone also asked me, is like, well, you know, you were like 10 cents more than somebody else online. It's like, you know what? There's 20 coins to a tube, and we're 10 cents more. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen. Does that other person support Greg Hunter? Does that other person support Butch Paul? Does that other person support CSC Talk Radio? Does that other person support a dozen of other things? So people are educated so they can find the truth? No. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't support everybody else, I'd be less than they would be. So, you know, people have to understand that. I mean, you're talking 10 cents times 20 to a tube. I mean, come on. You know, I don't think everybody thinks, oh, wow, 10 cents. Well, figure it out. It's a couple bucks. And yet that money goes back in and supports everybody else. No, I don't live in a mansion. Dave, I don't think you do either. And I don't think any of my employees will live in a mansion. You know, so, geez, Louise, it just kind of gripes my goat. But anyway, I don't know what made me get off on that tangent, but geez, Louise.
I blame right. Wells Fargo.
I do too. The crooks. Wells Fargo, they're cutting over 600 mortgage employees. That's a lot. You know, when we have the greatest housing and economy in the world or ever, why would they be cutting 638 mortgage employees? Wells Fargo is the nation's largest home lender, and they're contending with a slowdown in the business. So after they've carefully evaluated, of course, they probably have some hefty fines, too, that might have paid a little bit of into that decision of laying off people because of their problems that they had with the fraud that was created by their employees. Maybe that, and I think, I don't know how many billions of dollars, or was it just millions they had to pay, Dave?
I forget. It was a lot.
It was a lot, so maybe that really had an impact.
A lot, but not enough, I'd add.
Probably. You're absolutely correct. So they're looking and they're saying that after carefully evaluating market conditions and consumer needs, they are reducing to better align with current volumes. So it's showing us that there's a slowdown in the home buying arena. So another sign, Dave.
Indeed. And, you know, I quickly followed up on your question. They've paid $2.09 billion in fines over, mortgage for issuing mortgage loans. It knew contained incorrect information. Another $1 billion for insurance and mortgage abuses. Another $1 billion over home and auto loans.
Wow.
And so on and so on. $2.1 billion for subprime mortgages. The list goes on and on. For those of you interested in that, there's a website, violationtracker.org, that follows your favorite and not-so-favorite companies to see what kind of violations they've been a part of and how much they've had to pay as a result.
So maybe Wells Fargo is the United States equivalent to Deutsche Bank.
Well, it could be. Since 2000, yeah. They've been levied close to $13 billion in penalties.
Wow.
For 87 different violations.
Wow. So maybe that's why they're laying off the 600, but you would also think that if they were able to keep those people busy by doing mortgage applications and processing, they'd keep them. But we've reported on here where we have seen a decline in the housing market. So that kind of supports those.
Indeed.
There was another study, Dave, that 78% of Americans say they are extremely or somewhat concerned about not having enough money for retirement. We hear that. I mean, we hear report after report after report, but you know what? It doesn't seem to matter to a lot of people. And this one was published by Northwestern's Mutual 2018 Planning and Progress Study. 21% of Americans have nothing at all saved for the future, and another 10% have less than $5,000 tucked away. So that means about a third of Americans have only a few thousand dollars or less to put away for their golden years.
Yeah, scary stuff, Melody. I mean, some people are more prepared. About a quarter report having $200,000 or more stashed away, and 16% have between $75,000 and $199,999. But overall, the study found that Americans with retirement savings have an average of roughly $85,000 saved, which, you know, as most listeners know, is far from enough. I mean, experts typically recommend trying to accumulate at least $1 million. And I'm not sure that that's a good benchmark. It depends on your, you know, your style of living, your age, your health, and so on. But, you know, meanwhile, a new survey from Bankrate finds that 13% of Americans are saving less for retirement than they were last year, and offers insights into why much of the population's lagging behind. The most popular response survey participants gave for why they didn't put more away in the last year was a drop or no change in income. That was followed by comfortable with their accumulated savings, focused on another savings priority, or rising household expenses. Melody.
Well, you know, I wonder what that number would be because we all know the trouble that pensions and are in.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, we talk about it all the time of how underfunded they are. So wonder what those percentage would be based on a lot of those pensions being recalculated.
Mm.
Now, most of them certainly would have more than $5,000 in them. But how is that going to make an American or someone feel if they lose 50% of their pension?
Extremely poor.
Yeah.
Extremely unhappy. Extremely worried.
And a change of lifestyle.
Oh, boy.
A major change. I mean, if you're expecting, you know, $5,000 a month and all of a sudden it's cut in half, you know, it's because we know Social Security is not going to be there for many people. So I don't know how it's going to play out. What I do know, it's not going to play out very nicely. But those reports, the numbers that we just talked about, is kind of consistent with the federal data that show wages have barely budged in decades. Day-to-day costs continue to soar. Salaries, we know, with inflation, don't go as far as they once did to cover just the necessities. So that makes it more difficult to set aside money for the future. People are using their credit cards for their daily needs. The longer you put off planning for your retirement, the further behind you're going to fall. And again, you're losing your purchasing power every day. Every single day, you're losing your purchasing power. The good news is there are some ways to make progress without feeling cash strapped or committing to any drastic lifestyle changes. So, you know, here's a couple things that you can do to start saving money.
Yeah. Now, again, we're not financial planners. We're not certified in that area. But, this is conventional wisdom. This is common sense. Number one, start ASAP. I mean, obviously, the sooner we begin putting money to work, you know, the less we'll have to save each month to reach our goals. And that's, thanks mainly to the power of compound interest. Secondly, automate. If you automate your retirement savings, meaning that, you know, instead of writing a check each month or taking it to the bank or, you know, financial institution, you know, you have a portion of your paycheck sent directly to a retirement account, such as a 401k or a precious metals IRA. You'll never see the money that you're setting aside, and so you learn to live without it. You never miss it. Three, bank any surplus money. You know, whenever you come across any extra cash, you know, whether it's a bonus, a birthday check, or a small windfall, maybe you're getting an unforeseen, reimbursement from the Treasury that you didn't know about. Maybe it was one of your parents. But rather than blowing it on a new pair of shoes or a vacation, send at least a chunk of it straight to your retirement savings. You know, make sure a good chunk of your savings are in the assets proven to hold their value over time. And of course, I mean gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Let us put our expert experience to work for you today.
And you know what? I mean, these are something that people really do need, and what it really takes is commitment. And, you know, we do have a monetary problem. And again, converting those paper dollars that you do earn, that you do save, convert them into gold and silver. Get real money, because that's what it's going to be all about, ladies and gentlemen. Those holding real money are the ones that will survive the problems that we're going to face. And everybody admits it. You can talk to any mainstream, you know, financial so-called expert. They'll tell you that we're going to have a problem. But as long as they're handling your money today, they'll tell you that, you know, if they have your money, they're not going to tell you that. But ask somebody who's not holding your money, and most of them will tell you that they're puzzled how the system continues with not some sort of a major correction. For the past couple of years, you have Saudi Arabia. They're prepared to place up to 5% of its national oil company on the stock market. The officials talked up the Saudi Aramco initial public offering with international exchanges, global banks, even with President Trump. The planned listing was to be the cornerstone of the kingdom's promised economic overhaul, and at targeted at $100 billion, the biggest IPO ever. And all that has been shelved by the Saudi king. This IPO was the brainchild of a 32-year-old Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He was the heir apparent of the world's largest oil exporter. But, you know, after many months of setbacks, the IPO was pulled. And the reason? The prince's father, King Salman, stepped in to shelve it. Three sources were with ties to the government insiders had told Reuters. So we still see now who who controls the purse strings, don't we?
You know, as I tell my wife, you know, I'm the leader of our family. And she shoots back, "Yes, Dave, but I make all the decisions." You know, and it looks as though that's what's going on here between the king and his one of his sons. You know, the decision reportedly came after the king met with family members, plus some bankers and senior oil executives, including a former Aramco CEO. You know, they the consultations took place, interestingly, during Ramadan, which ended in the middle of June. Now, reportedly, the king's inner circle told him that the IPO, far from helping the kingdom, would actually undermine it. Their main concern was that an IPO would bring full public disclosure of Aramco's financial details.
No want that.
And so in late June, the king sent a message to his administrative office demanding that the IPO be called off. And now the king's decision is said by some to be final. However, you know, after it had been reported last week that the deal had been shelved, the Saudi energy minister said that, you know, the government was committed to conducting the IPO at an unspecified date in the future. Here's a quote from him. "Aramco's shareholder is the government of Saudi Arabia. His Majesty King Salman has delegated management of the IPO to His Royal Highness the Crown Prince and a committee which includes the ministers for energy, finance, and economy. Therefore, decisions around the nature and timing of the IPO will be decided by the committee for the government's approval." Now, do you, like I, see some potential beheadings in the future?
Perhaps. But we're heading into our break right now, so we'll be returning in just a few short minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97%.
20% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Do we want to have a 4-day work week?
Well, I don't know about you.
They've been promising us that for a long time.
It sounds good to me, Melody. You know, a 4-day work week, geez, could become increasingly common, you know, as employers look for alternative ways to attract new staff and boost productivity of their existing employees. We're reading that research from job search site FlexJobs is suggesting that a wide range of industries, from finance to recruitment, are opening up to the idea of a shorter work week. You know, based on an analysis of more than 50,000 U.S. companies' job listings, FlexJobs found that over the past year, there were, you know, a lot of industries that were most likely to hire for 4-day work weeks. You know, among them are jobs in sales, computer and IT, medical and health, customer service, education and training, and various administrative positions.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting because how it would affect wages. And I'd just be happy if I went from 7 days a week to six. I don't need 4 days, but hey, 6 days would be nice instead of seven. But
absolutely.
But the Bureau of Labor Statistics says the average American works 44 hours per week, or 8.8 hours per day. I'm not sure that's accurate, but while there's no cut and dried rule for how a 4-day week would work, some suggest that the most sensible option is to add an extra hour or two to each of the other work days to compensate for lost time. But we'll see how that works. But I'm not sure, you know, if that would actually decrease and increase productivity or not. Obviously not, or it hasn't happened, so I can't imagine that it would be beneficial, but it's just something that always pops up, probably always in an election year. It probably will.
Oh, I like it. I like the idea, and I think it could be effective, but only if it's managed and you have your employees involved in how it's going to work. But hey, not a whole lot of adapted it. I think it'll be interesting to see as we start to hear about more and more studies over the coming years, if more firms don't actually try and adapt to it as a way of holding on to particularly high performing female employees. Boy, it's hurricane season, and our friends in Hawaii have become the first to know about it in 2018. You know, this rare hurricane named Lane was bearing down on the islands last week. You know, it raised big concerns about the state's unusual electrical power system. And I didn't know about it. You know, they call it a dirty secret. The island paradise still burns petroleum to provide most of its electric power. Hawaii's pledged to go 100% renewable by 2045, but oil-fired power plants still produce about two-thirds of its large-scale power generation. Now, that's fairly rare in the developed world, but it's not uncommon in remote locations with isolated power systems like islands in the Caribbean, the Hawaiian Islands, and other places in the South Pacific. Obviously, Hawaii fits that profile, and it makes the state's electrical power system uniquely vulnerable to hurricanes. You know, we know it was weakening, you know, as the center of the storm blew over Hawaii, but it was still classified as a Category 3 when it hit.
Yeah, they received, some areas, they received over 50 inches of rain.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Oh, well, word. Look at Hurricane Harvey. I think we're coming up on the anniversary.
Yeah.
Here, I'm not quite sure, but I've been seeing a lot of news about it and reports about it. I saw one report. It was a wonderful segment on Fox News this morning, and it's this group. They're veterans, and they have gone in and they've donated. I'll have to get more information and share it with those listeners. I wanted to, and being a hectic day today, it just slipped my mind coming into the program. But it was very interesting on what these vets are doing to help rebuilding homes for people that, you know, maybe didn't have insurance, you know, don't have the money to, you know, to repair some of the things with the deductibles and so forth. And it was a very honorable charity that these people have, that this gentleman has created that has served in Afghanistan. And
I hope we can get some of them down to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. He says there was over 200,000 structures that were damaged. And again, my big question, and they're still building. There's a ton of buildings still going on down there. And again, I don't know how that all filters, you know, through into the economy with some of the numbers that we're getting. But 200,000 structures that many of them basically had to be rebuilt. That's pretty significant, along with the automobiles that had to be replaced. Because once your automobile is flooded, I mean, you know, you have to repair it. We haven't seen any impacts from the banks, because, you know, a lot of these people would be upside down if they have loans on their homes and so forth. So very little is coming out of those areas as far as the impact of the hurricane Harvey that they experienced with all that rain. So,
okay. Well,
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Amazon. Could Amazon actually be affecting inflation?
Some people think so.
Yeah. Well, there was a paper that was presented on Saturday to some of the top world bankers. And more frequent price changes for goods and a rise in the consistency of pricing due to the growth of online retailers could be affecting the inflation. In the past 10 years, you have online competition has raised both the frequency of price changes and the degree of uniform pricing across locations. Algorithmic pricing technologies are widespread among both types of retailers, and the transparency of the internet has also reduced pricing disparities. So this paper was delivered to the annual conference of central bankers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah, Harvard Business School professor Albert Cavallo. Now, we know a number of Fed policymakers have raised the prospect that relatively low levels of inflation in recent years in the face of a strong economy may be due to the ability of companies like Amazon to keep a lid on overall prices. You know, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, you know, that good old personal consumption expenditures price index, excluding food and energy components inexplicably, you know, hit the central bank's 2% target in March for the first time in 6 years, and it's hovered somewhat above that since then. But the Fed thinks there are no signs it's going to accelerate sharply, you know, as many economists have come to expect in periods of low unemployment, which here in the U.S. today stands at around 3.9%. Yeah, and that's coming at the time when our economy's expanding at a reported rate of over 4% in the second quarter, and that's the second longest expansion on record, according to government agencies.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I get it, the environment, you have to have retailers, they have to become more nimble, leading to lower margins. Walmart, the report found, more frequently changed the prices on the website between 2016 and 2018 for products. Last week, Walmart reported second quarter sales that topped estimates as more shoppers visited its stores and a revamped website drove online prices. So you have Walmart in competition with Amazon. But I mean, how many people really go to, I mean, Amazon has just been so long. I mean, I when I'm looking to buy a book or something, I don't even think about going to Walmart. I go right to Amazon.
I like to drive down the road to Barnes & Noble, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I'm still an old-fashioned book guy, book buyer guy. But now that I've gotten a, a Kindle, for Christmas, I got to finally learn how to use it as we're approaching that 1 year anniversary of it sitting on my end table. Maybe I can cut my own prices by buying some of these newer books electronically. What do you think, Melody?
Oh, I still buy the books. I don't read my books online. I buy the book and have it delivered, and you know, so
I'm an old-fashioned person like that too.
Yep. Nope. I want my book, and so anyway, today is, I thought Brevity is Golden is on Wednesdays. Did you change it on me?
Well, you know, got to keep listeners, on their toes. Sometimes it's Wednesdays. We've been doing it on Fridays, other days.
I know.
I'm not sure we did it at all last week. I actually forget, but figured, well, you know, when the story comes at you in such a way, you know, it's like, well, let's do it today. So, here it is. And, you know, we've been speaking a lot of wealth. We have some other stories we might get to in the remaining minutes of today's show. If not, we'll get back to them on Wednesday. But, you know, it's been described as the world's most important, desirable, and legendary motor car. Yeah, of course, that was by the people selling it, but the hyperbole must have worked somehow, because this 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO just became the most expensive car ever sold.
That's amazing.
I know. You got to find out if how much gold and silver this person has in his or her portfolio. You know, it came at an auction this weekend at Sotheby's sale during Monterey Car Week. The price tag, Melody, $48.4 million. You gotta love driving stick shift for that. I'm telling you. Now, the auction shop won't say who bought it. It wasn't you, was it, Melody?
No, I don't drive. I do, but not anymore.
I know, but you're a frugal yes. Purchaser.
Yes, I am.
We know the seller's name was Greg Witten. Interestingly, he's an early Microsoft employee who's now slightly richer than he was on Friday, and I'm sure he wasn't too poor before that.
You know, to have a Ferrari.
Word. Yeah, I know. Bloomberg reports this Ferrari smashed the old auction record, which was for a 1963 250 GTO, which sold for $38 million just 4 years ago. I mean, nearly $50 million for any car is a shocking number in my mind, but, you know, the 250 GTO is no ordinary car. You know, the auction house notes only 36 were ever made. And this one, chassis 3413, was just one of four upgraded at the time by Scaglietti, and one of only seven to have this more aggressive coach-built body. I've seen some of these coach-built cars at a local auto shop, and it's just the leather. Boy, if you don't necessarily have to be a car nut, I certainly am not, to just appreciate some of the styling, if slightly over the top pricing of these cars. This particular car was driven by a guy named Phil Hill. He was one of America's greatest racing drivers. In the 1962 Targa Florio, came in first in its class in that event the following 2 years as well. This particular car's history in both racing and private ownership is very much worth a read. It entered and finished 20 races in its career, and remains absolutely period correct today. The former car was reportedly bought by the founder of WeatherTech. Oh, no, that's another car. I beg your pardon. That was for a 1963 GTO. But the founder of WeatherTech. So, don't let anyone tell you that the floor mat game isn't lucrative, because that's what WeatherTech is. Anyway, congrats to its new owner, whoever you are. And we look forward to seeing it at next year's Cruisin' Car Show in Ocean City, Maryland.
Well, that is incredible. It's there's a lot of money out there, ladies and gentlemen. And that money is going. I mean, look, we've seen artwork hit records. They're putting their money into tangible items, into real items, and gold and silver is also one of those assets that you should be holding. We talk a lot about why the stock market is so high. We have buybacks. Oh, we're just about out of time. I didn't realize that would take as long as we did on the automobile. But we want to talk on Wednesday about the stock buybacks and how it's propping up the economy just by a thread. And, what motivates? I even seen that there's legislation that they're trying to get passed to make these stock buybacks from these multinational corporations illegal. I mean, when you look at the amount of what the companies have repurchased in a very short period of time. So we will talk about that and the impacts on the economy, how it's propping it up by just a thread. Dave, thank you for joining me today, and I want to thank the listeners for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Butch Paul. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me